Welcome to the game with Glenn Quatermain and Adrian Barrage. Quatt is a veteran footy scribe with hands so small he can only carry 2 pints. And Barra, an Eagles original, Perth Demons diehard, and regular face on Channel 7.
Hello, Adrian Barrage here from 7 News.
He'll tell you about the 1991 Grand Final, except he got dropped after the prelim. We don't promise any fancy sound effects or bells and whistles. It's just two blokes talking football.
And thank you once again, Dennis. You are listening to Quarters at Barra. I am Glenn Quatermain, Chief Sports Reporter for the West Australian newspaper. With me is Adrian Barrage of West Coast Eagles, Perth Football Club and Channel 7 fame. We are brought to you by Tab Touch. Got the touch? Download the Tab Touch app today. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. G'day, Barra. We have a fair bit to unpack in terms of the games. But before we do that, let's address a couple of issues. Mm-hmm. First of all, Hall of Fame, AFL not going to induct Ben Cousins this year. I love Ben, mate. Love everything he does, and I think he eventually will be in the Hall of Fame, but I can understand their reasoning at this point.
I think we knew that it wouldn't be this year, because once Dunster was out, it means it had been announced privately, and I think there's one West Australian going in, only one. Feels like the Eagles need to advocate for him.
I'm not sure if that's the case. Well, yeah, they can advocate for him, but you don't have to anymore be recommended by a club.
No, you don't have to. But I'm pretty sure they're not going to put him in unless the Eagles put the lead with their chin as well. So that needs to happen. And I heard the chairman last week saying that possibly that will happen. So as far as Ben's concerned, nonplussed. It is what it is. Whatever happens, happens. Que sera, sera. He's not hung up on it. He's no big deal. He understands that he has to pay a price for what he went through, and he's really humble and contrite and just wants to serve the community now and be the best person he can. I think when he appears on Dancing with the Stars, it'll catapult him to a whole new level in terms of people's understanding of who he is now, his commitment to his children, the fact that he's actually moved to right adjacent to the school where his son goes just to be close to his son and able to, you know, access the boy and also help with coaching and that sort of stuff. So he's going above and beyond. He's a close friend of mine, and I would be going to bat for him, but I'm just saying that at some stage it'll happen, and he's certainly, on his footy career, he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, no question, yeah.
But he ain't in the category of some of the other blokes that we've mentioned in the past.
No.
Knowing the intimate knowledge of what went on, you know. But I get that you've got to pay your price, so it's fine. He's giving lots of inspiration to people all over Western Australia, all over Australia, in fact. I mean, once he goes national on that show, just, you know, people whose families have been touched by this scourge will go, you know what? Wow, Ben's given us hope. So that's the most you can help for.
Well answered. Yeah. A couple of other issues. I'll start with the Northern Territory bid. Now, you know I've always been big on 20 teams, two conferences, and the 20th team, I believe, should be the Northern Territory. Andrew Demetrio is on a working party looking at a Northern Territory bid, along with Andrew McLeod and Nathan Buckley, who come from the Northern Territory originally.
Bucks.
So interesting, Demetrio was speaking, who's speaking on 6PR this morning, basically was saying, let's not talk about introducing football to the NT, because NT's been in footy has been in the NT for a long time, and it's a very popular code there. They love it. He also said, in terms of the economy and population, don't underestimate NT given the military bases that are in the NT. There's a lot of money there in the military, and also the gas.
Aussie or Yanks or what?
Well, it's the Aussie, there's also gateway to sort of Southeast Asia. But it's also a lot of gas pipelines go through it, so it's not without its resources. So that was his spiel this morning. Mm. I think that it just makes sense. And if you're going to have a 20th team, and I think they will, I think it completes the national picture, which the NRL does not have until WA gets in. Mm. So I think that's really interesting. The only thing is, the question is it going to dilute the actual product, because are the numbers out there? I think the numbers are out there, Barra. I just don't think we identify them well enough at this point.
Well, in terms of Indigenous or?
Both. Indigenous and non-Indigenous.
I think non-Indigenous is getting done pretty well.
Always do it better.
Where else would you go
to? There's still a focus on a lot of the elite schools and not enough on the public schools. And I think there's some talent out there that's still being unrecognised. Clearly, it's huge with the Indigenous population, because I'm sure you have. I've spent a lot of time up in the northwest, and there is so much talent up there that will never get the opportunity. Yeah. And it's tough to get the Indigenous players down. It's really tough.
You know what would be fantastic? A full-blown Indigenous team. I mean, how good would that be? How exciting would
Well, you
would
know,
that be?
NT would be pretty close.
Yeah.
Fremantle has done it, obviously, has had the biggest imprint, I think. I mean, Kevin Sheedy's had a big imprint through Essendon. And all the
and what
clubs
would they have had? Eight out of 40 or 50?
Who's that, sorry?
It's Fremantle. What would they have had? Eight Indigenous boys?
Out of what?
Out of 40 or 50 in their squad?
Yeah, I think they've had...
In one year.
Yeah.
So you're saying that...
They had a game... I think they've had one or two games in their history where there hasn't been an Indigenous player in the team, and clearly they have a massive...
So it's
connection.
A massive jump to having 40 Indigenous boys.
Yeah, but
You know what it does solve, I suppose, is that there has been a drop-off in Indigenous players accessing... the AFL and being part of it?
Massively. So there was 12%. I think it's down to about 8%
now.
Yeah,
so in their favour, that would work. It would need a lot of careful management. Is Andrew Demetrio the right guy? He'd have the connections.
Well, he's not necessarily the guy who's going to run the show. He's actually in the bid sort of team. Mm. So he'll be helping set it up and get the conversations flowing.
But it's exciting. And it's certain. I mean, the rugby league's gone Papua New Guinea, haven't they?
Well, they're going to.
They're looking there.
Which is interesting because that's all about federal government funding for security in the Pacific region. It's basically secondary is the NRL side of it. To be honest, mate, I get that, but I think it's a joke that the PNG would get in before WA. And I see Wayne Bennett again comes out like, I had a story with him last year where he was talking about it, and he's come out again this week and saying, we've got to have a team in WA.
What about the Northern Territory Kangaroos?
No, it still doesn't solve the problem of an uneven competition because you've got Tassie coming in. I think we can go to 20, mate. I really do.
Well, you've got 19 with Tassie, right?
That's right. So you go to 20 with Northern Territory.
Yeah,
you don't
if you take out North Melbourne, yeah. Yeah. There's too many teams in Melbourne, mate. Yeah. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You can't just keep saying, let's add a team without taking some from somewhere
Why?
Else.
Why?
Because, mate, it just doesn't make sense.
But I think 20
We're a country of 25 million.
That's right. We can.
And you know what a lot of the kids are doing, I've noticed as well?
Yep.
I don't know if you've noticed. This could be a story for you guys. Mm-hmm. I'm serious. And Caitlin Bassett would be brilliant for it. A lot of them are turning their back on footy and looking at the Olympics coming to Australia in Brisbane.
Yep.
So their families are going, you know, the 12-year-olds, the most critical age is 14. That's when you got to get them at 14. That's if you don't get them then, you don't get them. And they're all looking at, you know what, I can run for Australia. I can row for Australia. You know, I can play volleyball for Australia. I can play basketball for Australia. Let's go do that because it's coming to Australia. How big will that be being an Olympics in Queensland?
Yeah, it is huge.
And if there was a Comm Games, there'd be more of it. The Comm Games falling over in Melbourne really hurt that. But I can tell you, I know kids that are just, because they're so talented. They can take up, particularly in the private schools, they can do anything. And they could become doctors and all the rest of it. But now they're choosing to maybe do an Olympic sport.
And if we're talking Australian rules, which is why the conversation around concussion and head trauma is so important.
Yeah,
because
it can add that.
Kids are getting turned
away.
That's
another wrinkle, no
doubt. But they're getting turned away from Aussie rules to those other codes, those other sports, because parents don't want to see the kids being knocked out. Just speaking of the knockout, Barra, so the send-off rule, it's a hardy perennial, I call it. It comes out this time every year. It's out again. John Longmire has been espousing the possible virtues of it after that collision between McCartan and Brown last week. I'm not against the send-off rule, and I'm not against the sin bin. The only caveat I put on it is I have concerns over where you draw the line in the sand. So you'd hate to see someone get sent off and then you revoke it later and they've missed. But having said it, if you look at all the other, because I'm pretty sure it's
every other major sport.
It's not the only one that doesn't have it. And can you recall one instance at any of those other major sports where they got it badly wrong?
They blew up. Well, soccer has yellow cards and then red card.
So some of those
are disputed. So you can't even argue. You go, you had a couple of warnings there, mate. Now you're a buffhead. You're off.
Rugby union, it's just, you know, he's sir, the referee is sir, and what he says goes, or she says goes, but...
And you punch someone in the forehead, you're off.
Yeah. I just think it's great that we're having...
Would you have sent him off in that instance?
I think it's got to be only for egregious incidents, something like a Barry Hall on Brent Staker, you know, where you can't argue. I mean, I know that Brown was pretty clear cut, but at the time it's really hard to get your head around whether it was a football action, all of that sort of stuff. I think it's got to be really clear. and there's got to be someone in the with the power to.
Would you have to go to
take
the
fall?
Would you go to the replays before you sent him off?
Oh, I think you've got to do something. Yeah. You have to, mate. Yeah.
Yeah. So what the umpy?
Maybe it's you know what
ump,
it is. Maybe
it's, fifth ump.
Maybe it's a case of someone like just say it happens sort of 20 minutes into the second quarter. You make the adjudication at halftime. You don't do it on the spot. You have a
really?
Look at the vision over. Someone looks at the vision over that period, and then they can say at halftime, tap him on the shoulder, you're out.
Yeah, okay.
So I think
there's... Lots to talk about.
Yeah, there is, isn't there? And premiership rings, Barrow. What's your view?
Yeah, now, I actually think it's a good idea, having been exposed to a couple of NBA blokes and that sort of stuff, you know, Luke Longley and those guys. The thing I always thought about with, not that I actually got one, but I was right there a couple of times, and seeing the boys with their medallions, there's nothing you can do with them. Like, you just, what do you do with them?
You
just
take them home. I'll tell you what I do with them. I'm wearing it around my chest that whole weekend when I'm having a few beers.
Yeah, but that's it. That is the end of it. You put it in your sock drawer.
Like, you know,
or maybe you frame it, put it in your house, but... There's no way you'd be wearing it out again. Even at a reunion, it looked like a niff-nuff.
Okay, can I let you in on a little secret? I've run a couple of marathons, right? And every now and then when I've had a few too many at home, I might just disappear into the back room and come back with the old clink, 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 clink around the net just for a bit of a joke.
Run around the lounge room.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that. You can do that stuff. But what I'm saying is that the actual medallion in terms of taking it out in public, if you Aussies just don't go for that. You know, I mean, a ring's a bit more subtle and people do wear rings. Do you wear a ring?
Never. Only what? Wedding ring. That's it. I wouldn't wear it. I don't like it.
Only wedding ring.
Well, it's a wedding.
Only wedding ring, mate.
It's very significant. But
mate, Lisa's on the phone, mate.
I don't like rings, so that's I make a concession with the most important thing.
Only the wedding ring.
So I got myself out of that.
I don't know, probably.
But I don't like chains or anything like that, no, mate. I'm a free spirit. I like...
So you'd be more likely to wear a ring, wouldn't you? A premiership ring?
Yeah, okay, so just on
and
that...
You don't want to be too ostentatious like the Americans. How big are they?
Oh, they're mate, cumbersome.
You know they're saying 50 grand each,
yeah.
$50,000 each.
Yeah. So you know what I reckon?
How much would your ring be worth?
Which one?
The one you got on.
Oh, that? I don't know, mate. It's a long time ago. It's 26, coming up to 26.
You would have spent, what, $2,000 on it?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Imagine a $50,000 ring. It'd have to have diamonds in it and everything else. Yeah. So it'd be pretty ostentatious.
Just on that point, I think with the premiership rings, everyone at the club can have them, from down to the accountant up to the CEO and all the players, the support staff. I reckon everyone should get a ring. Medals are different. I don't think you should get one unless you play it on the day. I think that's
different.
Yeah,
but different. We're talking about a medal or a ring. We're not saying both.
I know.
So
no, you
would,
get both.
You can't give everyone a medal.
No, you just
and you can't give everyone
play.
A ring. Yeah. I reckon they just keep it tight. Probably the emergencies. I'm only saying that because I was the emergency. But 50 grand, so Quarters has said, okay, everyone gets one, right? 50 grand. So how many people would that be? 100? Let's say it's 100, mm-hmm. easy for mathematics for me. Mm-hmm. That would be, what's that, $5 million?
Yeah. So let's just scale it down a little bit.
And suddenly,
you know
what'd you say? The accountant, he ain't getting one now.
You know what I thought? They don't have to be 50 grand. That's ridiculous.
That's what they're saying, mate.
Turn it up.
To make it special. So you actually, you know.
You need to build hospitals and roads and schools, mate.
No, mate, the government's not
away.
Paying for it, mate. The government's, hello.
And if you get
hello. The government's not paying for it. The club's playing for it in the AFL.
Yeah, hey, mate.
Listen, Rita Saffiotti, you're off the mark, mate.
Listen. What are you
I know it's budget day, but you've got it in your head.
$50,000 ring you can never wear because you'd be worried about wearing it out in public.
Yeah, who gets mugged for a ring nowadays, honestly?
Oh, mate.
For your Nikes, maybe.
$50,000 ring, you're walking around as a premiership player. Anyway, Barra, now it's time for our favourite segment of the week.
Yes.
Shorty's Tips.
Yes, the great man David Short from Tap Touch. How are you, Shorty?
Oh, well, thank you, Quarters. Barra, great to be with you, boys. Yeah, pretty expensive bit of bling, that.
Do you have any rings?
No rings. No.
Oh,
I'm happy. I'm happy enough to have a medallion. I think it's special. It's a brotherhood that you share for the rest of your life, or sisterhood if you do it in.
Should
other,
you get
other
one
games.
If you didn't play?
No. Mm. Should be good enough to be out on the park. And if you're not unlucky champion,
you hear my
try again next year.
You understand? You don't bring out your medallion ever again. After the first weekend.
I would.
Yeah, at home you would, but you wouldn't wear them out.
Why not?
Because Aussies would go, you Nuff. What are you doing?
Actually, you know what? I ran the New York Marathon, and you're right. I ran the New York Marathon, and at night when you go out, I took it off, and all the Aussies were wearing them out. To be honest, it looked pretty nuff.
Reeks of flog.
I was thinking, I felt like going up to him and saying, just take it off. It's embarrassing. But anyway, Shorty, who's your big heater for the week?
Heater for this week, and they're anything but flogs at the moment. Sydney, they're airborne. Their win over the Giants last week, I thought it was a massive win for them. They're now into premiership favouritism at $5.
Oh, so we know you're tipping on Friday night then, tomorrow night. Jeepers and Luke Parker probably comes back. Do they play him? Big question. The cooler, obviously North Melbourne just keep getting in here, don't they?
Oh my goodness, they're really battling, aren't they? Obviously, it's one thing to lose, but to lose big to sides that are around them on the ladder is really hurting them. They're into $1.25 to take home the wooden spoon, and there's no relief in sight.
Who's your hot punt for the week, Matt?
Hot punt. We were going great last week until the Doggies dropped that last game. That was the killer for me.
I enjoyed that.
Anyway, we move on. This time I'll take a multi with the Cats to win, and I'll take the Pies and the Suns to win by 25 or more. Pretty conservative this week at 228. Look to get back on the winners list.
So on the drift is Carlton, so that could really be a huge drift if they lose tonight, eh?
Yeah, big time. They've lost three of their last four. That sort of snuck up on us. They were going really well to start the season, and the punters have abandoned them tonight. All the money's been for Melbourne. They're 195 out to 202.
Geez, if they lose and Port lose, they could be both out of the eight this week.
Yeah, crazy to think, given how well they started considerably.
Mm. And Zach Merritt, geez, he played well last week.
Wasn't it a big game from him last week up against the Coasters? 29 disposals and 3 goals. He came up clutch. He's actually just kept trimming up Brownlow-wise, and he's now into second favourite behind Isaac Heaney at $8.50.
Mm. Thanks, Shorty. Have a great weekend.
Pleasure, guys. Good luck, punters.
Righto, Barra, let's pick some winners. And it's a tough round again. Huge one tonight, 5:30 p.m. Western Standard Time. Carlton, $1.97. Melbourne, $1.83. You all mock me, Barra, but Melbourne creeping towards that little premiership window again. Mm. And I think Carlton's lean run is going to continue. I'm picking a Melbourne win tonight, mate.
I looked at the tipsters in the West Australian today and I noticed the top two now. Can you believe the top two are your mates? Craig O'Donoghue and Mitch Woodcock.
Mm-hmm.
Even Stefan Kolovoski's dropped a little bit. So they've split it. They've got Melbourne and Carlton. Mitchie's got Carlton. I notice you've got Melbourne. I've got Melbourne.
You know, the big fascinating thing about tonight is you've got the two, arguably the two best forwards in the comp, Mackay and Curnow, coming up against the two best defenders in the comp in May and Lever.
And that what makes us think Melbourne wins, eh? Because
I think so,
you
mate.
Don't trust those
Carlton
two blokes.
Carlton beat them twice last year, but Melbourne was a bit on the nose last year. Melbourne was like just struggling, but still sort of getting it done. And that's why I thought they'd be a big chance this year, because I still think at their best, they play the best footy.
Both teams don't score much when they play each other. Carlton get McGovern back, which is massive. Hollands, Jack Martin, who I really rate as well.
He's really important in their inside 50 connection too.
And Kemp, Zach Williams is out injured though. Fantasia, I don't know what's happened to him. He's dropped right off. Cunningham and Young. And Melbourne get Bowie back. So
Bowie's big for them.
It's a great matchup. It's going to, I reckon it'll be both sides will score less than 80 and Melbourne will win by 5 points. There you go.
In the last six games between these sides, only one team has scored over 80 points, and that was Melbourne in round 9, 2021. The Demons have a 4-2 win-loss record over this period, mate. So I think it's going to be close-ish up to three-quarter time, but I think Melbourne wins this one. Yep.
5:30 on 7, mate.
That's it. 5:10 p.m. Friday night, the Alphabet Stadium, GMHBA, Geelong, $1.29, Port Adelaide, $3.55. What has happened to Port Adelaide, Barrett?
Well, the Connor Rosie thing was a debacle, and they're still going to pay the price.
Lear is back for this game.
Yeah, Lear's back, but their most important player will not be playing.
Mm.
They're going to Geelong. I can't remember the last time they won down there. I think they've been belted down there the last 9 times. Oh, here, they haven't lost to the Power at the venue since 2007.
Yeah, that's right.
That's 9 in a row against Port Geelong.
Port's won one of 13 at GMHBA. Yeah, you're right. Round 21, 2007 was the last time.
So I can't see anybody tipping Port Adelaide. Tommy Hawkins, geez, 4 matches without a goal.
Yeah.
4 matches.
It's interesting to see Chris Scott's explanation for that, saying, well, it happens, he is getting older, but if you don't underestimate the team aspect of his game. And Tom Hawkins is a very unselfish player. He does give a lot away. But we all come to the end of it, mate. Even you did at some point. So,
and he's, I suppose what he's really saying is that Geelong is, we're second. Who gives a stuff? He'll mate, come good some.
Can I make a forecast here? It's not a wild stab in the dark either. I think he might kick one or two against Port.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's picking Geelong, by the way.
He's playing his 355th match.
Oh, it's amazing. And he's the most capped Geelong player now, if
equaling,
I can put it that
equaling
way.
The club record set
of,
by...
Was it Nankervis?
Nah,
no,
Joel Selwood.
Joel Selwood, of
yeah,
course.
Yeah.
And so, who's the third? Would it be Ian Nankervis? Just guessing, I think. Anyway.
You like those Nankervises, mate. That's a long time ago. Interestingly enough, Selwood equaled Corey Enright's previous record of 332. And that day, the Cats lost to the Power in the qualifying final of 2021. That was Hawkins' 300th game. Wow, yeah. 355.
I don't think it's happening on Friday.
What, Geelong
night.
By 20 points?
Yeah, the other game on Friday night, I don't like these overlap games, but nevertheless, we've got 1:06:20 p.m. Optus Stadium, Fremantle Dockers, $2.25. Are they the real deal? Well, we'll find out because they're playing top of the ladder Sydney Swans, who are coming in at $1.65, going just beautifully Sydney at the moment. Have a midfield that is just so hard to contain, and most importantly, Barra, a midfield that kicks a lot of goals. Lots to like about Frio loss.
Do you play Luke Parker if you're Sydney?
Do you keep him for Luke?
The midfield's going pretty well.
Yeah.
Chad Warner, Isaac Heaney, what's his name, Rowbottom. Mm. What do? You bring him in or?
You got to get him in there at some point. I think he'll give him value, but yeah.
It's bloody interesting to see.
He's one. Why wouldn't you bring him in as a sub?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I think he needs
give him a bit of give him a bit of sort of second half action. I reckon you might do that. Now, what happens?
He's missed so many games, he might need to play.
What happens with Frio? So obviously, pretty smart with Fife last week. Great man management and game time management. Do they do the same with Michael Walters this week? Because Justin Longmuir has flagged that.
Feels like if Switter is available, and it has been a bit of a worry. It's been three games he's missed, but he gets through training, and then the next day he pulls up a bit sore, his head, whatever. He's pulled out. So if Switkowski, by the way, that's how it is. It's Switkowski, the punters keep telling me. If he gets in, maybe Sun does get squeezed out to being the sub or even rested. I actually said he wouldn't rest anyone, but maybe, you never know with these coaches. Amos is interesting.
Yeah.
He should come into his own with the Sydney defenders. But Sean Darcy didn't train yesterday. They said he had a bit of a calf awareness. Mm. He didn't go out onto the oval at all. Mm. So I'm wondering, are they thinking of resting him?
They could.
Because that it's not like it's going to be wet too, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be raining
here. Yeah.
You let Jackson take the reins. It'd be interesting to see if Darcy gets selected tonight.
Just on Amos, what did you make of all that this week? So obviously Justin Longmuir's come out. It's more about the knee to the head I thought was uncalled for and probably deserved a week from Ben Miller. But it's more about the holding, the grappling, before he wrestling. Gets a run at the footy. Now, that's part of defensive craft. But when it's blatant, you've got to give those free kicks away. Maybe, this is a good segue for us, Barra, maybe his forward line teammates need to do a little bit more to protect him there. Let's have a bit of this.
Oh, here we go.
This is an important cyclone warning announcement.
So, Josh Tracy, let me tell you about Josh Tracy. Did you know he is now the most accurate shot in the competition, or so far this year?
Is that 75%. 75%?
So from 15 to 30 metres, he 5-1. From 31 to 40 metres, 7 straight.
Wow.
From 41 to 50, 4-1. And from 50 metres plus 2 goals, 1. He's got a nice kicking style, a nice ball drop.
Yeah, we thought Amos was the guy that had the good kick.
I think he still is. He's got a good...
On the weekend, he shanked one, didn't he?
I think his confidence is probably a bit down because he's not getting a good run at it.
He probably got corked in the leg as well.
Probably. So.
But, you know, it was interesting when I was talking to Longmuir about it. I said, does the concussion, I like using that word wrinkle now, you know, you get stuck on words. I said, is it the concussion thing a bit of a wrinkle, meaning, you know, adding to the situation? Mm. He said, no, it's not about the concussion. It's just about what's fair. And letting the young bloke have a go at running for the ball without being unfairly treated, you know, 10 metres out. I mean, you're allowed to do it close to the ball, but he cops it. He can't even get a run up at it. But he will this week because they've got their defender. You know who might have to come in? This will make you laugh.
So there's no McCartan for Sydney?
Yeah, because McCartan's obviously got the concussion. Mm-hmm. They've obviously got their fullbacks there, who's an absolute star. But
Hamling.
Yeah, Joel Hamling. And he's been playing forward.
Fascinating.
In the VFL. Joel Hamling. So imagine Joel Hamling on Jai Amos.
That'd be good. I'd like to see that. Now, just one thing about this game, and I'm picking Sydney, by the way. I think they deserve the favouritism. Dockers last round won the tackle count by 16 at stoppage. So this game will be about the contest, as a lot of them are. But this is about that. If they can, which I'm really fascinated by the matchups. Sarong, Brayshaw, Hayden Young, great game last week. And you mentioned, you know, the likes of the Gouldens and the Heaneys and Heaney. Warner. Robottom. So, I mean, Fremantle's got a really good midfield, but hey, wait till you see this Sydney one. They are zinging along. So I'm picking Sydney.
Well, you can't let them explode, and that's the thing. They've got to get on top of them early. Yep. The Dockers are the second hardest team in the comp to score against.
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like the Dockers are going to acquit themselves very well. And it's going to be a bit slippery. I don't know who that favours. It's going to be a bit wet. I don't know who that favours. It could be raining. But
I reckon it favours Freo.
I like Freo. Well, how come you're not tipping them then?
Well, I'm just saying the conditions favour Freo. You know when you just said about the attack and defence? So champion data stats tell us, Barra, Sydney is ranked 1 for points for. Fremantle is ranked 1 for points against. Mm. Sydney ranks 2nd for scores per inside 50. This is percentage-wise. Fremantle 4th at stopping them. Sydney 1st from points from turnovers. Fremantle 3rd from points against. Yeah. And 1st points from defensive half and Fremantle 5th points from defensive half from a defensive point of view. So it is very much the best attack against the best defence at the moment.
And let's be honest, the Swans prefer playing at the SCG, a small, tight ground. And the Dockers love playing at Optus. So I'm tipping the Dockers by 10 points.
Yep. Yeah, I'm not saying they're not in with a chance. I just think Sydney deserves it. Saturday morning, 11:45 a.m. My boys, Hawthorn, $2.40, up and about at the moment. V St Kilda, $1.57, a little bit on the nose at the moment. The Saints, I was all full of enthusiasm and verve and full of beans, Barra, following last week's win over the Western Bulldogs.
And then
I find out
this morning,
just Sicily's out. I picked the Hawks in the paper.
What's wrong with him? Is he hurt or something?
Oh, he only popped his shoulder out last week.
Yeah, but he played on.
Yeah, but that's just because he's got a bit of ticker.
Mate, did you see him blow up when the young fella missed their goal?
Yeah.
When he got...
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he stamped his feet.
Oh, the wizard. The wizard.
I love that little kid. He had a massive crack. But short jeepers, that was a bad
miss.
You know
that kid.
What did you say when that happened?
Hey?
Were you at the pub by then?
Oh, yeah, I wasn't too happy.
Did you blow up at the pub? Where were you? At the
Civic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I blew up.
Many Hawthorn fans here?
No, they don't go up to the Inglewood, but it's too far for me to walk. It's just the end. Civic's at the end of the
street. You should have sprinted to the Inglewood when you saw they were winning.
Civic's, I'm just happy there. Look, you're probably...
Mate, in the paper, you've got Hawthorn, mate.
I'm staying with them. It's in Launceston.
Okay.
Still no Mitch Lewis, which is a worry that he just cannot get on the park.
Mm.
But Luke Bruce comes back into that Hawthorn side. So, you know, a bit of craft, a bit of goal, a bit of experience. He's a very good player. So he will help with your Watsons and your Ginnivans. And so the Hawks in with a chance here. I'm going to pick him.
Yeah, okay. Jack Higgins, you don't really mean that now that your man's out though, do you?
Oh, probably not. I've got to go with my paper tip, mate.
I'm reckon Saints by 22 points.
Yeah, fair enough. You're probably right. Marvel Stadium, Saturday. Essendon, $2.35. The Giants, $1.60. Most people expect the Giants to bounce back after a disappointing loss to Sydney, their crosstown rivals last week. And you give them every chance, but I'm picking the Bombers. Now,
But they weren't that great last week.
They were good, very good up to half time, and then they faded. And
they were playing West Coast.
Yeah, I know.
They weren't playing.
It's at Marvel. This is a gut feel tip. This one, I reckon Essendon.
I reckon they've had too much chili.
They're fifth on the ladder. They haven't done a lot wrong.
Mate, they're not super. Let's be honest. Okay. Come on, admit it.
A few options.
They struggled to beat West Coast at home.
So
and without Yo in the last quarter.
Stringer or Kyle Langford will know they're alive, you know, with Sam Taylor on them this week. But I just think that they, I really like where they're going. Nick Martin, we've mentioned Zach Merritt earlier. And yes, they have a lot of weaponry, GWS, but I reckon in Melbourne, Bombers can get this done.
All right, what about if Cornelio and Tom Green is fit?
Yeah, I'm still picking it. I'll stick with Essendon this week.
Really?
Yeah. Just they've been a bit off the last month, Barra.
What about
they've not been the side? Don't think that this is the side they were in the first sort of 4 or 5 weeks. They've been a little bit off.
I don't reckon they're that good, are they? Come on.
GWS?
No, I'm talking about Essendon. They're not that good.
Okay, well, no.
And what about Hogan versus...
I'm talking them up because I hate them.
Hogan versus Mackay.
Yeah, tough gig for Jesse. He's a good player, Mackay.
It is. Shut up.
He is.
You pull out the Coleman medal list, please.
Yeah, he's second.
Exactly. Tough job for Hogan.
It is.
What about Mackay? Tough job, my friend. The Giants have lost 2 games in a row going down to Sydney and Carlton, so they'd be very pumped up. I just think... I'm not convinced about Essendon. Sam Taylor, I believe, is probably going to re-sign with the Giants. The Eagles and Dockers were into him big time.
You know, he lost his first defensive one-on-one contest last round for the season against Joel Amati. His first.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable. He's such a good player.
He is a great player. And he I don't know what he's...
Here's a question for you. So talking about the ones that got away, if you could sign someone right now, would you take Nick Martin? Or would you take Sam Taylor?
Sam Taylor. Because
I'm taking him.
He's special.
He stops your good forwards.
He's a key position beetle at Little Blokes anyway. But Sam, he was coming. And I believe there's been some change in his management or whatever. I'm not sure. And he's now looks like he's going to stay at the Giants on and over $1 million a year for 5 years. Mm-hmm. So like 1.2. But he could have got back here. I don't know what West Coast would have paid for him. It would have been anything. It would have
been handy, wouldn't he?
Because you know, McGovern's old, Barass, not that. He got a sore back. Yeah, what a bummer.
So we're just talking about the Northern Territory before. TIA Stadium in Darwin, Saturday, 5:30 p.m. Gold Coast, $1.07. North Melbourne, $8. Do you give the Kangaroos any chance?
Mate, Gold Coast. Can I just say Gold Coast? Ba-bom. Mate, what has happened to the Gold Coast?
You know,
on the road, they cannot play.
And you know what I hope doesn't happen this year? Because Damien Hardwick's the coach now. He gave them a big pre-season because of this. I don't want to see them getting to round 12 and then dropping off the face of the earth again. They need to at least...
They've dropped off now, mate.
Yeah, yep. They need to pushing for a spot in the eight. They can't just disappear. So on picket, they win this game, surely.
They were terrible. Brisbane, who were dying. Brisbane, who were dead. Brisbane, who... Did you see the injury? So yep. They had... Stasevic went down in the warm-up. Lincoln McCarthy's got did an ACL
on the
first
quarter.
Yeah,
it's really
sad for
them. 2 ACLs this week. That's 4 for the season. I think 6 in the last 12
months. People saying, is there a problem with the Gabba surface?
Yeah, they are.
So Stasevic goes down before the warm-up. McCarthy, ACL first quarter. Ainsworth, concussion. Darcy Gardner, ACL in the second term. And they still fixed up the Gold Coast Suns. Mm-hmm. Mate, the Suns, they're shaky.
You know what half their problem is? I love him as a player. He goes really hard at it every week. But Sam Collins has had 15 backwards kicks this year, the most by any player in the league. Sam, perhaps if you kick it the right way, you might help your team. What would his metres gained be?
I know.
Minus 50 or something.
You can't tip North Melbourne because they're so bad. But the last time these teams met, North Melbourne came from 28 points down to embarrass West Coast in round 24, beating them by 6 goals, ending their 20-game losing streak. And what was the big price they paid for that?
Yeah, by number one pick.
They lost Harley Reid.
Mm.
So the Gold Coast.
So who are you picking?
Well, I think you have to stay with Gold Coast. You do. But it's like two tired sides trying to die.
Big game Saturday night, 5:30 p.m. MCG. Richmond, $3.10. Western Bulldogs, $1.37. Big talk coming out of Melbourne, Barra, that if the Dogs lose this on the back of losing to Hawthorn, he's outski.
G-A-W-N.
Gone.
Ooh. G-O-R-N.
And you know what I'm doing? I'm tipping them.
Whoa. Hang on. What have you said in the paper here?
You know, Richmond are just a little bit impotent.
Who are you tipping, the
impotent.
Bullies?
Ticking the Bullies.
Okay.
Surely they bounce back this week. Surely with all that firepower up forward, surely with that midfield, surely they can find a way.
Hang on. That super judge, Paul Hazelby's tipped the Tigers. He's a terrible tipster. I love the bloke, but geez, he can't tip. Richmond v. the Bulldogs. Mm. We're talking about MCG. Mm-hmm. Hopper's still not there. Taranto's not there. Ross is not there. Lynch is not there. When does Bolter come back? Where's Prestia? What's happened to Jack Graham?
Yeah, they got a few issues.
If those three come in, though, do you feel a bit better? Bolter, Prestia and Graham?
I feel a bit better. I just find so many reasons for the Dogs to win this game.
Libba's not playing.
Yeah. And shouldn't be for a while. I feel for Libba.
Jesus.
Doesn't look good.
You can't really tip Richmond, can you?
No.
But you're right. If the Bulldogs don't win, it'll be. Just play that siren thing again. Whip, whip. Give it to us again, will you?
That'll be for Bevo, mate.
I'm sorry, Barry. That's specifically for Josh Tracy.
No, it'll be for Bevo if he loses here.
Sunday, 11 a.m. at Marvel Stadium. What a pity it's not at a Chockers MCG. Collingwood $1.09. West Coast Eagles $7. Harley Reid, what did you make of all the commotion this week? Kane Corns not fit and all that. We spoke about this on Tuesday.
But look, everyone's turned on
good
Corns.
Good on Kane
now.
Corns. For
he's had to clarify his comments.
Clarify, mate.
That's called a backflip.
You can't compare him to Sheasel or Dacos. He plays a completely different position.
And you can't expect him not to get cramps in his first season. I mean, he doesn't even train full time. He's playing in a
Dacos
different position.
Gets cramps.
Yeah, like, and I loved how Will Schofield gave him a massive touch-up. Did you see that?
I did,
And then he pulled out his stats, his own Kane Corns' stats for his seventh game. They were not impressive.
Very different play. I don't mind Kane Corns,
what's different,
mate,
about Kane Corns?
Oh, he was more of a defensive player.
He was a midfield tagging arsewipe.
Yeah, he was a tagger.
He wasn't an arsewipe. He played 300 games.
No, he was
I withdraw that statement.
The minister. Unfair, and we love people who have a bit of a crack in the media. So I actually really like
Kane. But he overcooked
Kane.
That. He just
overcooked it. He got it wrong.
Did he do it deliberately?
Yes.
Was it ignorance or did he do it just to get hits?
Come on, Barra.
What's the answer?
It's good fodder.
Yeah, I know. Well, why does he do that? You don't need to do that. He's going well.
Yeah, I know.
Kane, you're going well, mate. And you know what's happened now is that the tsunami of players having a crack about online abuse, it's just added to it.
And see, we saw Jamie Cripps come out this week. He's copped a bit.
He called them scum.
Yeah.
He said those keyboard warriors who are anonymous.
Well, they are scum.
They just attack. And it was a great article by Caitlin Bassett, the Australian champion.
Very good writer, Caitlin.
And her line was, you know you've made it. When you start getting abusive messages online, that means you've made it.
Mm.
So that's pretty sad, isn't it?
It is sad.
And it's like Mike Tyson said, these blokes would not say it to your face. It's because they're anonymous. Maybe, and they can hide.
You know what?
You know what would happen if you said it to someone's face like that? The abuse they cop, even Harley Reid's copped it.
Yeah.
It's what they say. They try to say the most personal, powerful thing to upset you. And if you bite, like Tim Gossage and Gossage, that kind of
works. You wouldn't say it to their face. You're quite right. Jordan Clark
came
out.
Civic.
He copped it after that free kick as well earlier in the season. So,
imagine if I'm standing there at the front bar of the Civic or whoever it is and someone comes up and says what he's written. Mate, he'd be in the drip train.
Who are you
2.1
picking?
Seconds.
I'm going with Collingwood here.
Oh, mate. Yeah, okay. There's no way. I tried to make it, but they're without Mitchell, DeGoey, looks like. What's happened to DeGoey?
Clay Hall play this week? Debut? I hope so.
I'll just give you the blokes that are out for Collingwood, though. Majacek, massive out.
Yeah.
Massive. He was
They've
brilliant.
They've got some big outs.
Lockie Schultz, suspended.
Tom Mitchell.
Bo McCreary, super quick.
He is.
Like, unbelievably quick. I think Tom Cole said.
He did.
Thank
it's
God
quickest
he's not
bloke
playing.
He's ever played on.
Yeah. Dan McStay, obviously still out. Jordan DeGoey, what's happened to him?
We don't know. Well, he's injured, but he's got he's got groin, hasn't he? So I don't think he's coming back.
So there are, but then the Eagles have lost Long, Waterman, and Yeo.
Yeah,
two of their best players this year.
Mm.
So you can't really make a big case.
And good
for them.
News for Long too, not being an ACL. So at the very least, if he can't get back this year, at least he gets a full summer through him.
Mm.
And so it's much better news than an ACL, which is 12 months. So,
mate, how filthy would poor old Jake Waterman be?
Yeah.
What's he got? Delayed concussion.
Yeah.
I wonder how that got out.
Yeah.
Because when you're in form, he's kicked 6.543. Should have been 6.544, except for Cripsy having the brain explosion. Mate, when you're in form, the last thing you want to do is have a week off. You just want to keep riding the wave, you know what I mean?
He'll be back. He'll be fine when he comes back, mate. So you're picking the Pies?
Yeah.
Okay, last one. Adelaide Oval, Sunday, 2 p.m. Adelaide $1.67, Brisbane $2.20. Given the outs we just mentioned before with Brisbane and Crows just starting to mount something here, I'm picking the Crows to win this one in what probably is a bit of an upset.
Is this at the Gabba?
No, Adelaide Oval.
Oh, okay. All right, in that case, that makes it a bit more interesting. But, geez, they'll be desperate, the Lions. But they're undermanned. I'll ask you a question here. Josh Dunkley took out Matt Rowe last week, kept him to 16 touches, 4 tackles. He'll go for Soligo now, won't he? So can
he's the most informed Adelaide mid, yeah.
Can he take down Soligo?
And if he does, it'll go a long way to change, but I'm not picking him. I'm picking Adelaide. I think Brisbane are just in a bit of trouble.
No Stasevich, no McCarthy, no Ainsworth, no Darcy Gardner. No, you know what? I'm tipping. I've got no faith in Adelaide.
Yep.
I feel like Brisbane will bounce back. If they don't, they are in a lot of pain. So, you know what? I might tip Brisbane.
Good on you.
I'll probably change by the end of the week.
Baron, now it's time for this.
Saddle up your camel. It's time for the Thirsty Camel mailbag.
Yes, thank you to Thirsty Camel. Special this week, Baileys and Kahlua, 700 mils, only $36.99. Don't forget Mother's Day this Sunday, May 12. I'll be going to the Baysie to get something from the Thirsty Camel bottle shop there for Lisa. We have a $50 gift voucher to give away thanks to Thirsty Camel. Get your questions in for next week to quartersandbarra@wanews.com.au. Get them in, as Chris from Willerton did this week. G'day, lads. Absolutely love the podcast, but starting to get really peeved with all the private school name dropping each week from us. There are plenty of AFL players from public schools. Luke Jackson, Jeremy McGovern, Hayden Young, Luke Ryan, Josh Tracy, Brennan Cox, Michael Walters, Nick Nat. The list goes on. Please put aside your personal bias. Please be professional and balanced. Footy is for everyone. Cheers, boys. That was Chris. Point taken, Chris.
Who have we met? I mentioned Newman College.
Yeah, I mentioned Trinity.
I mentioned Newman because the two blokes who were second in the Coleman went to Newman.
Yeah, you did, mate. Yeah.
You've got to have a link. Yeah, you do. There's got to be a reason to do it.
And I'm a battler from a public school in Melbourne, mate.
My son went to Shenton College. Yeah. I was the PNC president of Shenton College. So don't try to lecture me about that.
Chris is all
holy
right.
Shit, I've done more than anyone.
G'day, gents. Just finished last Thursday's episode and you talked about being in support of a Victorian conference and a non-Victorian conference. Want to state quite bluntly, that's a flat-out awful idea. Sure, people are entitled to their opinions, but how does that balance travel exactly? You'd create a conference of all travel and a conference of no travel. Where do you think all the best players would end up if they did this? Don't create conferences. You make it transparent. You go half Vic, half interstate, drawn out of a hat, World Cup group style for two groupings of 10 teams with your reverse fixtures. There's your 20 rounds. Then three leftover games to designate to rivalry games and gather round where you must play someone from the other group. Then you run the ladder and finals as normal. Half the problem is the AFL trying to engineer the fixture. You'd remove this ability from them with my above suggestion. Kind regards, Harris Cooper from Onslow, who are playing Panawanica on June 8. We're all getting excited. You know what, Harris? I'm going to send that email on to the AFL. You've solved all their problems.
That's a good email. Well done,
put
Harris.
Put that to one side, Harris.
And good luck to Panawanica.
Yeah, good luck. Just following up with your quest for the origin of the Harley OK salute, just remember Grasshopper. Begin with the end in mind.
Yeah, so
It is rare to ask good questions. It is more rare to listen to good answers. I like that one. And finally, a thirsty camel always drinks well from a well of plentiful beer. Oh, that's Cole from Freo. I'll tell you what, Cole's just might have leapt to the front of the queue.
Mate, he's watched Kung Fu shows
too.
Oh,
I used to love it.
David Cunningham.
Remember Carradine.
Carradine.
Just place this rock in your hand.
I was watching.
And then you will be a man.
Did you see him in Kill Bill?
Yeah, he's great.
Well, would he have been?
Yeah.
Mate, he got killed too. Hey, look, the signal was, I asked him, and it's what they do in the NBA, and it's the three finger. It means when you drop a three-pointer, you go, check that out.
Is that it? Oh, okay.
The three finger.
I still like Cole's email, though, and he's mentioned Thirsty Camel. So, hi, guys. Oh, she's back. Mrs. Longmuir. Mrs. Longmuir here. Do you agree it is a disadvantage to be in a two-team town when it comes to recruiting? For example, players rarely cross over between the Dockers and Eagles due to rivalry yet. This is probably the best trade route for both teams as the player is already settled in Perth, as opposed to trying to get a player to move across the country. It is almost like being shut off from your best trading partner. What do you think?
No, I agree with you, mate, on that one.
Okay. Hi, Quarters and Barrage. Along with Fremantle, co-host this weekend's Prime Friday night games. Why doesn't GMHBA Stadium ever get to host a Sunday night twilight fixture? Is it really Sleepy Hollow? That's from Michelle, who calls her Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. I lived in Geelong for 8 years, and they hate that term. Hate it. And it's just not right.
Sleepy Hollow.
It is not Sleepy Hollow. It's a vibrant place. It's a beautiful...
Shut up.
It is. It's a fantastic... Have you spent any time in Geelong, Barra?
Yes, mate.
It's a fantastic place to live.
I spent a week there and it felt like 3 weeks.
Oh, well, I had 8 great years of my life living in that city and I will defend it to the death.
Boring. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But the thing is, the reason I don't have Sunday night games, because no one wants to drive down from Melbourne and then
it's
have to drive
hour. Yeah, only an hour.
But that's why they do it, right?
Mm.
Why do you think they not have...
You know, get to have a look at the Corio Refinery on the way in.
Oh,
and,
fantastic.
You know, all of that.
What else? What other pooperama?
Norlane Super Water Park on your right. And you know,
a lot of good people come from Geelong.
Smell the sewerage at Lara as you're halfway down the road. You know?
The Bairstows tell me they had a great time there and we've got Sam Simpson and you.
Mm.
But, mate, that's why they don't
I'm
do it.
I'm from Ringwood. I'm from the eastern suburbs of Melbourne. I just spent 8 years in Geelong.
Yeah. What were you doing there?
Went down for work. Went down for uni to study media and then work.
So,
you couldn't get into a
Melbourne uni?
No, I couldn't. I wasn't smart enough. I wasn't smart enough.
Let me guess. The Geelong Argus.
Geelong Advertiser.
Advertiser, right.
The Addy. Great place.
And that's the reason, because no one wants to drive from Melbourne for an hour at twilight for a Sunday night game. That's what they do. Mm. That's
I
the
used
reason.
To love the drive, to be honest, over the Westgate. You know, oh, it's great. Hello, Quarters and Barrett. A couple of weeks ago, you were talking about forwards that leave the ground immediately after scoring a goal. This has always bothered me, so I asked a mate of mine who has coached the WA State team and Freo AFLW team why this is done. Who would that be? He said that often the forward will have already been told they are next to come off, and as a result are more willing to work harder to put themselves in a position to kick a goal. So rather than it being a case of a forward coming off because I've just kicked the goal, it's more likely they have been able to kick a goal because they know they are about to come off for a rest. Hope that sheds some light on the mystery. I know I'll be less frustrated watching the future now. I know the reason behind it. Keep up the podcast. Love your work. That's Big G from Gooseberry Hill.
Big G, my only input is if I saw the runner coming and he looks like he was coming for me, I went real hard to get a kick and do something spectacular so that the runner would, because if you did kick a goal, normally the runner would do a U-turn.
Did you ever run away from the runner?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I remember Peter Bell used to hide from him. Remember that famous story when
Dennis Pagan, yeah.
They sent the runner out and he couldn't find Peter Bell. And he said,
two missionaries in Korea found him on the side of the road. You can't find him on a footy ground. Go and find him and get him off the ground. Yeah, Peter tells that story, so we're not talking out of school.
Oh,
we love Peter. Great fella, great player.
That didn't happen, by the way. That they didn't find him on the side of the road. He's anyway.
But that's what Dennis Pagan's story
was. Yeah, I know.
Peter tells that story.
We're still on air?
Yeah. Who are we going with?
The dude who came up with all those permutations instead of having the conferences. I reckon he was super.
Okay.
And we're celebrating.
Harris, you're our winner this week, so send us your details to quartersandbarrett@wanews.com.au and we will get a voucher to you somehow. Thanks for listening. We have been brought to you by TabTouch. Got the touch? Download the TabTouch app today. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Good luck, Barrett, with your tips. Thank you for listening. We'll be back on Tuesday to wrap up the round.